It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand, as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest in God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress. Persecuted,
but not hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Father, we just give you thanks and for everything, Father. In all things, Father, we just thank you. We honor you. We magnify you. We lift you up on high, Father, for there is none like you in all the earth, Father. What a precious, what a good call of mine. What an awesome privilege it is, Father, for you to come into our lives, Father, on a daily basis, Father, and just make known to us what is your will and your desire and your intent and purpose for all of our lives on this earth, Father. And for enlighten the eyes of our understanding to that, Father God, so that we could know what is the hope of our calling and exceeding greatness of the power that has been made available to us. And for that, Lord, we say thank you, Lord. We enter your gates with thanksgiving. We enter your courts with praise, Father. We come into your holy place, Father, honoring you in everything that we do, Lord. And we go even beyond that, Father, all the way behind the veil, into your awesome presence, my Father God. Feasting at the king's table, eating the king's food, my Father God. Growing in the knowledge of your will for our life, growing in your grace, and becoming who we already are, Father. Mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God, offsprings of God, sons of God, kings and queens in the earth, Father, rulers, Father, over all the circumstances, situations, and symptoms that confront our lives, Father. For you have given us dominion over all the earth, Father God, over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, everything that creeps up on the earth, and over all the earth, Father God. Lord, you have redeemed our lives from destruction, crown us with loving kindness and tender mercy so that our youth is renewed like the eagles, Father. And you have pointed unto every last one of us, Father, under the sound of my voice, in fact, to the whole human race, Father, the golden scepter of righteousness. That means, Father, we can come, Lord, through your gates of thanksgiving, through your courts of praise, through the holy places, all the way behind the veil into your literal presence, Father, in that atmosphere, in that environment, Father, and not only visit there, Father, but dwell in that secret place of the Most High God, Father God, where everything is all right, my Father. And for that, Lord, again, we say thank you, Father. So we take you up on that invitation, Father, to come into your very presence, Lord. And Father, we ask that you would speak to every last one of our hearts, Father God. And hallelujah. In words of love and comfort. But even if you have to reprove us or rebuke us or correct us or chastise us, thy will be done, Lord, because your kingdom has come, my Father. So therefore, Lord, be it unto us according to your original word, my Father God. That which was from the beginning, that which came from you, that which was in your heart and in your mind, even before you spoke it, my Father God. Make that known to us clearly, Father, on a daily basis, Father. Your precepts, your original idea, your original intent, my Father, your original desire for our lives. And Father, you've given us the seed to that, the seed of your word to that, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, where you said, let's make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, everything that creepeth upon the earth, and over all the earth, my Father God. That's your original intent, Lord, for bringing us from your very presence in heaven all the way to this earth, my Father, so that through your Holy Spirit and by your Holy Spirit, using your word, we could make earth a colony of heaven, so that it would answer the prayers, Father, that you taught us how to pray. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done here on earth just like it is in heaven. So, Father, I would ask you that you would equip us, Lord, to carry out your assignment for our lives. And as in always, Father, we'll be careful to give you the credit, the praise, the honor. For the kingdom is yours. All of the power, all of the glory, all of the honor. And we ask, Lord, that it be unto us according to your word. In the matchless, mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And so shall it be. Amen, amen, and amen. Hey, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God in Radio Land. Hallelujah. Boy, I love to say that every time I come on this radio broadcast. Listen, you know that we are more than just mere men and mere women. Listen, we are more than just apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers and saints and church members. And we're more than all of that, you know. You know you're a ruler. You know you offspring from God. You come from God. That makes you a son of God. All of us, sons of God. Son means offspring from God. We sprung off from God. We come from God. We the children of the Most High God. We're kings and queens in the earth. We're ambassadors of Christ and ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven. Listen, that's far greater than all those titles that we fall up under. Because one day it ain't going to be no more apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers. And ain't going to be no more popes. And ain't going to be no more presidents and senators and mayors and governors. And all. One day it ain't going to be no more none of that. But you're going to always be a son of the Most High God. That's eternal. You're going to always be a king and a queen. That's eternal. You're going to always be an ambassador of Christ and an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven. Those are eternal titles. All those other titles, man, they're just preliminaries. They're just means to an end. What means to what end? To bring you into the knowledge and the reality of who you really are. Hallelujah. Listen, let me, I always say that, hey, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. But let me show you where I got that from. It's in your Bible in the book of Psalms, chapter 82. Let me turn there and read that for you right quick. Watch what this say. Psalms 82, verse 1. God stands in the congregation of the mighty. Who is the mighty that he's talking about? That's you. Where you stand at, he stands in the congregation of the mighty. He calls you mighty. Hallelujah. And he judges amongst the gods. Now, that's a little g god. You know, that's a capital G God, capital G-O-D. That's Almighty God himself. And then there's a little g, G-O-D, gods. That's you and I. Hallelujah. Little gods. Little offsprings of God. Hallelujah. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Let me show you something about that word where it say he judges amongst the gods. He said, man, I mean, that word judge means he gives righteous judgment. He gives rights, your eternal rights, your original rights that God gave us to rule and dominate and manage and control and influence this earth. He gives those rights to do that back to you, back to us. He gives righteous judgment back to us. I'm not talking about judging you for your sins and whether you're going to die and go to hell or die and live. Or I'm talking about to give you, boy, your rights back, your right to do what God created us to do. We lost those rights in Adam's disobedience, but because of Jesus Christ's obedience, those rights that God originally gave us to be fruitful and multiply and replenish and subdue this earth, those rights that he gave us to have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, everything that creepeth upon the earth and over all the earth, the right to do that, that's been restored back to us. And boy, the devil won't keep you from the knowledge of death. He won't keep you from the knowledge of who you really are. He don't want you to know that you are a ruler. He don't want you to know that you are a king and a queen. He don't want you to know that you are an offspring of the Most High God. He don't want you to know where you really come from. That's why I come up with all these other theories, man, you know, and evolution and everything else. Because he don't want you to know, man, who you really are, where you really come from, why you really here, what you really can do.
and where we really going to end up at. So he'll preoccupy us, man, with all kind of other stuff. And other stuff, that ain't got to be all evil. Some of it can be good. But just because it's good, that don't mean that it's right. Hallelujah. You don't want to listen. God said in Hosea through the prophet, say, my people are being destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge of what? I'm not talking about a lack of knowledge of theology and lack of knowledge of the word of God as far as theology is concerned, but a lack of knowledge of the word of God as far as the revelation of the word is concerned. Revelation knowledge. You know, everyone wants you to understand, come to the knowledge and understand the revelation of God's word. He don't want you to ever really understand, man, what the Bible is really all about. He don't want you to know that this Bible that you read and that we get our messages from and our inspiration from, he don't want you to know that word is about a king. It's about his kingdom. That's heaven. It's about his royal family. It's about his expansion of his kingdom from that unseen realm, the kingdom of heaven. He don't want you to know that this Bible is about God's desire to expand his governing influence of his territory, heaven, to a foreign territory that he created, man, called the earth. And the reason why he put his family and son on that spot, on the earth. He don't want you to know, boy, the reason for that. He don't want you to know the why for that. He don't mind you being preoccupied with the handiwork of God. What God did and what Jesus did, but what he don't want us to know is the precept. What's that? Why he did that? Why he created the heaven and the earth? Why he placed mankind on the earth? He don't want you to know, boy. He don't want you to know that kind of revelation. So he's preoccupied with God's handiwork, what he did. And boy, at the expense of forfeiting us coming to the knowledge of why he did it. See, listen, what he did is very important, but why he did it is even more important. If you don't know why you were created, some people say, well, you were created to worship God. Yeah, that's good. We were created to do that too, but we were more than that. Worshiping God is a means to an end. He created you to rule this earth. He created you to dominate this earth. He created us, man, to colonize this earth, man, with the governing influence of heaven. He created us and put us on this earth, man, so that we could make this earth just like it is in heaven. That would preoccupy us with trying to lead the earth. That's what religion does. It prepares the church, man, and the body of believers, man, to lead the earth, thinking that we're going to spend eternity in heaven with God. Man, that's not what the Bible is about. That's in the Bible, but that's not what the Bible is about. The Bible is about the extension of the governing influence of the territory called heaven to a territory that God created, man, and placed you and I on, the earth. But what purpose, Arthur? So that he can extend his governing influence from heaven to that territory. What's his plan of doing that? He's going to do that through you and I, through mankind. That's why he created mankind. Why? Because, man, he had a desire, an original desire. What? He want to rule other territories. There's one thing about kings, man, they make them great, man, and even greater when they expand their territory. And my pastor over there in Houston, boy, they're in a series, man, in a time now, in their season in their ministry now, man, over there at Let's Go High Ministry with Pastor Liddy Owen. Well, man, what they're doing, man, the subject matter to everything that they're doing over there now is kingdom expansion. That should be the subject matter to everything that all believers are doing. What? Expanding God's kingdom. Rediscovering it first and coming to the knowledge that it has been restored back to the earth. And then, boy, taking that man and learning of that and getting in on that and then expanding that. Expanding that man throughout the whole earth. For what purpose, Arthur? So that the answer to the prayer that we've been taught to pray all our lives, what prayer? The template that Jesus Christ gave us. But our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What? First request. Thy kingdom come in our lives. It's here, but let it come in our lives. Why? So that when it comes in our lives and we come to the knowledge that it's here and it get on the inside of us, not with observation, it ain't over there, it ain't over here, but when it get on the inside of us, then we can take that which is on the inside of us and expand that. Why? So that, cause why? Because when his kingdom come and we come to the knowledge that it has came and it is here, and then and you get in on it and it get in on you, then man, his will, his original will, his original intent, his original plan, his original purpose for the creation of the heaven and the earth and mankind, what? So that it can be on earth just like it is in heaven. And listen, when it's all said and done, that's what it's going to be. You ain't going to spend eternity in heaven with God. That's where you come from. That's where your citizenship from. But God desires to expand his territory. Hallelujah. So he created man a new territory. It wasn't no other territory. It wasn't that man. He created the heaven and the earth. First, it was the unseen realm. And man, he ruled over that. He's the king of heaven. But he want to expand his territory of heaven, man, but there ain't no way else to expand it. So he created, man, the heavens. That's the universe. That's the unseen realm, the heaven where God lives at, and the seen realm. Well, that's the whole universe. And he decided that on a spot in this whole universe that we call the earth, that he would extend his governing influence from heaven to that spot, to that territory, the earth. That's why he brought you and I down to the earth. That's why he didn't put you on Jupiter or on Mars or on the moon or nowhere else. He put you on the earth. Why? Because he want to extend his governing influence of heaven to this territory. And who knows what after that, man, you know, in sweet by and by, man, where it, even through us, man, he might extend his territory to all the other billions of planets that's up, that's in the universe. But right now, boy, he established man in the earth through you and I. That's his plan, to do that through you and I. Listen, the way they colonize kingdoms, the first thing they do, man, when the king take over another territory, they send, man, a governor there. That's who Pilate was. That's who Felix was. They were governors of territories that, that the Roman Empire had took over. And when they send the governor there, they also send citizens of Rome to that territory, too. At least 300 of them, you know, along with the governor. And boy, the governor's job is to make sure that in that territory that they're taking over, that they establish, boy, the laws of the of Rome in that territory. So they send man citizens from Rome to that territory, at least 300 of them. Why? So that man, through the governor and through them, they would establish the laws of Rome in that territory. Hallelujah. That's colonization. That man, and then man, when they do that, man, they make that territory that they took over, they make them live according to the laws of Rome, according to the culture of Rome. They established the culture of Rome in that territory. They established the will of Caesar in that territory. And the will of Caesar is that it be in those territory that he took over, just like it is in Rome. That's why Jesus Christ came during that time. Why? Because all the other empires that we know of in the world, the Egyptian Empire, the Assyrian Empire, the Babylonian Empire, the Greek Empire, none of those other empires, man, that ruled the earth, man, in time past, man, none of them, man, had a system that was set up like Rome. Those other empires would go and take over a territory, and they would kill the king, man, and a lot of people there, and then they would take some of the people, man, and bring them back to their territory, man. But not Rome. That's why Rome was the greatest empire that ever been, even up until now. The Romans wouldn't go and take over the territory and kill all the people and the king and everything. The Romans would go over there and take over the territory, man, and lead the people in the territory. And they would send the governor. That's who Pilate was. And they would send citizens from Rome. And then they would establish Roman rule in that territory. But the people who lived in that territory would have to live according to the Roman law, the Roman governing system, and the Roman way of doing things. So where that saying comes from, when in Rome, be like the Romans, act like the Romans, live under Roman government, Roman laws, Roman influence, the Roman governing system. That's why Jesus came during that time. Why? Because, man, you know, they had a system that was similar to God's original system. What God's original system was? To establish his rule, his domain, his territory, his governing influence to foreign territories. Hallelujah. So he sent you and I, just like Caesar was sent citizens from Rome to Galilee and to all over the Mesopotamia areas, all over those territories, man, you know, to establish the Roman government system in those territories, the same way God sent, man, the Holy Spirit and citizens from heaven. That's why the Ephesians say your citizenship is in heaven. You originally was in heaven. You come from heaven. And God bought you and sent you to the earth. Why? Just like the Romans would send men, citizens from Rome and the governor from Rome to establish Roman rule and Roman law and Roman governing systems in that territory that they took over, the same way God did, man. His original idea and plan was to send the Holy Spirit, that's the governor of heaven, to send citizens from heaven, that's you and I. And through, boy, the power of the Holy Ghost, man, that was influencing the citizens, man, that come from heaven, you and I, man, we would establish, man, heaven governing system. Not religion, but the governing system of heaven on the earth. Devil didn't preoccupy us, man, with establishing religion on the earth. Jesus didn't come to bring a religion. He come to bring the governing system of heaven. He come to bring heaven to back to earth. Hallelujah. And boy, let me tell you something. And then he saved you and I, man, so that we could be, man, you know, come back into our original reason for existing, man, and get back on course toward why God created us. Why? To establish his governing system, his law, his rule, his will, his intent, his purpose in the territory that he gave you and I called the earth. But what purpose, Arthur? So that it might be on earth just like it is in heaven. What that is, that's colonization. That's what that prayer means when it say, boy, thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth, just like it is in heaven. Now, if you as having church and singing songs and preaching sermons and everything else, man, listen, that ain't bad, that ain't evil. That's just a means to an end. And the devil's most successful tactic against you as the body of Christ and as the church is to preoccupy you with the means at the expense of forfeiting the purpose for the means. So you just operate in the means and never get to the purpose. You're preoccupied with having good church, getting people saved, telling them how to live, man, according to the Mosaic law in preparation, man, so that when they die, they go to hell. Good God Almighty. And that ain't bad. That ain't no evil thing. It's just not, man, the original intent and plan and purpose and desire of God for your life. Hallelujah. Listen, boy, they the Roman people, man, in the Roman governing system, they looked at Jesus as a rebel. Same way religion does. They look at, man, this gospel of the kingdom, you know, as a rebel to overthrow, man, their religion. Just like they thought Jesus Christ come to overthrow the Roman government. No, he couldn't set up another governing system on the earth. He was born under Roman government, under Roman rule. He was born in that territory where Caesar was the king of that territory. But Jesus said, listen, my kingdom is not of this world. I'm going to say it again. He said, man, my kingdom is not of this world. I didn't come, man, you know, to overthrow, man, you know, the kingdom, man, of mankind. I couldn't have set up a whole different kingdom on the earth. I couldn't have set the kingdom of heaven up on the earth, not the kingdom of man. Not the rule of mankind. I couldn't have, man, set up the rule of God for mankind back on the earth. because it once was here. That's why you hear me say, man, you know a lot about Genesis chapter 1 and 2, because in those two chapters, man, God had started, man, what his original plan was. He had set up the kingdom of heaven and the governing system and the governing rule of heaven on the earth. You know it as the Garden of Eden. And there he placed the man in that environment, in that atmosphere, in the presence of the Lord, filled with the Holy Spirit, so they could carry out, man, God's original intent and desire for their life. What? To be fruitful. That means, man, to multiply, to produce a whole lot of bodies with the Spirit of God on the inside of them and the Holy Spirit in their spirit. Be fruitful. God said, I want a whole lot of y'all. Hallelujah. Then, man, what? Replenish and subdue what? The earth. Be fruitful. Multiply. Replenish and subdue the earth. Where? The earth. Govern this earth. Have governing influence and power and control, man, over this earth. Notice he didn't say, man, over people now, over one another. He said over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, everything that creeping up on the earth, and over all the earth. He didn't say over people. Notice he didn't never name. We don't rule over one another. That's how governing systems do, man. Man's governing system, man, they rule over mankind. And, man, you were not created to dominate man. Man, you were created to dominate fish and birds and plants and trees and everything that creeped up on the earth, you know. All those things come from the earth. And then he specified, he said, over all the earth, have dominion over all the earth, not mankind. What's our role toward mankind? Just to love one another unconditionally. In fact, man, love is so powerful, man, and has so much authority and power and fulfillment of life in it, to where God said, man, even love your enemies. Good God Almighty. That's how powerful love is. That's the role that love has to play in that. That's the greatness of love, the same love that God loved us with. For he looked past all our faults and mistakes and saw our need, what? To be loved unconditionally. Unconditionally. Even when you were dead and trespassing in sin, even while you were yet in your sin, Jesus Christ hung, bled, and died. While, man, they were rebelling against him, while they spit upon him, while they were crucifying him. Man, know what he said? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's unconditional love. That's the only responsibility that we have toward one another. It's just to love God with all our heart and love one another. That's what the word neighbor means. It don't mean the person that stays next door to you. The word neighbor means anybody that's nearby, anybody that comes near you, anybody that passes you. Show them love. And don't show them no any kind of love. Show them the agape love, the love of God, the same love that God loved with. Now, in the natural man, in this natural way of living that we've been born and trained to live in, man, under the law of sin and death, man, you can't do that. That's why Jesus Christ redeemed our life from the law of sin and death, man, so that we could get back into and operate in the law of life, where we can speak life to one another, where we can speak the blessings in one another's life, so that we can speak, man, healing and salvation and deliverance and provision in one another's life, so that we can think well of one another, so that we can speak well of one another, so that we can decree and declare, man, the blessings of God on one another's life. That's how God designed us to live, by love and by faith. That's what it means when you say he created us in his image and in his likeness. I mean, you know, his image is his character and his nature. Nature, what he naturally like. And his character means his characteristics. His likeness means the way he functions. He functions by love and by faith. Faith what? Faith in what he say. Faith in what he do. And he do it all in love. That's why he redeemed our life from destruction. That's why that scripture is in your Bible, but God so loved the world. He so loved what? The original arrangement that he set up on the earth, that man was lost in Adam's rebellion against God's law. He loved that original world, what he established in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, where mankind was ruling, Adam and Eve were ruling on the earth in the presence of the Lord, unbroken fellowship, man, with assignment, man, to be fruitful and multiply and replenish and subdue the earth. He loved that original arrangement that he set up in Genesis chapter 2 and that he lost in Genesis chapter 3. He loved that original arrangement, that original world, man, so much that he sent his only begotten son. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish. For he didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Good God Almighty. I'm going to say it again. God so loved the world. God so loved man, the world, and all those who dwell in it, all mankind, that he sent his son to redeem our life from the disobedience of Adam and restore it back to the original plan and purpose and destiny that God has set for our lives, that you will find in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. In Genesis chapter 1 and 2, there ain't no devil there. In Genesis chapter 1 and 2, watch this here. There ain't no church as we know it there. There ain't no religion in there. And yet in those two chapters, boy, after each day, God said, and it was good. It was good. After day one, he said, and it was good. After day two, it was good. Three, four, five, it was good. And then in chapter six, when he created you and I to establish all the good that he had produced upon the earth, and when he established and brought you and I to the territory, he didn't just say it was good. He said, that's very good. And listen, there wasn't no church in there as we know it. There wasn't no apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers and worship songs and prayer meetings in those two chapters. Those are products of the fall. Those are means to the end. That never was God's original intent to have a church like what we're having. His original intent was for us to rule and reign and have dominion over everything that he created up on the earth and over all the earth. But we lost that dominion. Listen, you didn't fall. The fall of man, what the church Noah called the fall of man, you didn't fall from heaven. That's what you fell from. You fell from your dominion. You lost your kingship. You lost your authority and your ability to reign over all the earth, reign over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and the cattle and everything that creepeth upon the earth. When Jesus Christ came in, he was reigning over those things. Man, them boys have been fishing, man, them fishermen, them disciples have been fishing and everything else, man, the Bible says they had caught nothing. Why? Because the circumstance, situation, and symptom was dictating to them. And the first thing Jesus asked them, y'all caught anything? He didn't preach no sermon to them, boy. He appealed to their man interest. He said, y'all caught anything? They said, no, man, we fished all day and all night, ain't caught nothing. Jesus told the man some things that was orthodox to what they was had known to do. He told them to launch out into and throw your net on the right side. And man, let me tell you something. What they couldn't catch, man, the way they traditional way of fishing, man, let me tell you something. When they follow his instructions, man, the fish can run to the net. Wow, he was ruling over fish of the sea like God gave. That's the first thing God gave, dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air. Children. He spoke to the wind and the waves, and they obeyed him. He spoke to a tree, man, the tree died. He was ruling and reigning over there. The tree ain't had no fruits on it. Jesus said, hey, listen, ain't nobody going to eat off of you from this time for a while, because you ain't producing. And if you ain't producing, that's like religion. Religion ain't producing, man, God's intent. So Jesus Christ said, listen, I come to bring me, listen, ain't nobody going to eat off you no more. I kind of do away with the religion, man, and establish, man, your rulership back on the inside of you. Well, boy, you can manifest the glory of God in the earth. Religion is not doing that. They're producing programs and services and seminars and theology and all that, but they ain't producing God's glory on the earth. Crime ain't getting no lesser. Our youth, man, ain't getting no better. They're getting worse and worse, man, day by day by day. Ain't no fruit on there. Multitudes of churches and communities, man, and the communities are still dying and going to hell. Crime is increasing. Sickness is increasing. Man, poverty is increasing, man. Unruly government, man, is increasing. Dictatorship is increasing. Children killing children. Youth killing youth. And there's a church on every corner. They're having church every Sunday and Wednesday and whatever day we have it on, man. And the community ain't getting no better. In fact, man, it's getting worse. Crime ain't decreasing. They ain't building less jails. They're building more jails. They're expanding hospitals and expanding wards in hospitals. Ain't no fruit on the tree of religion. So Jesus said, hey, listen, ain't no man going to eat off of you no more. I didn't come to bring a religion. I come to bring the governing system of heaven where you can produce fruit, where you can be fruitful and multiply and produce a whole lot of fruit, produce a whole lot of heavenly culture on the earth. Why? Because you're living and dying like mere men when all the time you are gods. That's what God said about you. You're living and dying like mere men when all the time you are little gods. Mighty men and mighty women are the Most High God. Yet you shall die like mere men and mere women. Why? Because you don't know the truth. Devil blind our eyes and harden our heart and hid the truth of God's word. The truth of God's word. When I say truth, I'm not talking about like true or false. I'm talking about the reality of God's word. The reality of God's word that says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. The reality of God's word that says by the stripes of Jesus we are healed. The reality of God's word where you say I supply all your needs, where you ain't got to be worried about what you're going to eat, how you're going to live, how you're going to make it, and nothing like that. Because your heavenly Father know that you have need of all those things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, man, will be added unto you. The reality of them. So that you can know something, what? That everything is all right. Even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though, you know, you can know that everything is all right. Let me ask you something. How do you think mankind would feel, all mankind would feel, if they knew that no matter what the situation was, man, everything is all right? If they knew that no matter what battle they might encounter, that they were going to come out victorious. If they knew that, man, no matter what need that might be represented in their lives, man, whether it's financially, whether it's emotionally, whether it's spiritually, whether it's natural, whether it's physical, whatever it is, that need is already met. If they knew that, if they knew that their bills were going to be paid even if they didn't have a card in their bank account, if they knew that, how you think mankind would feel if they knew that, man, regardless of what they might be going through in life, that boy in the kingdom of God, man, in the will of God for their life, and if they would seek that, man, the kingdom of God and the will of God for their life and his way of putting us in right standing with him, that boy, everything that we had need of added to us on a daily basis. If you knew that, then you wouldn't worry about nothing. How would you feel if you knew? I didn't say how would you feel if everything is all right. How would you feel if you knew that? See, in order for you to feel that way, you got to know that. In order for you to know that, that got to be revealed to you, not by man's theology and not by man what man said, what we can learn from man, but what we can learn from man, our Father in heaven, our source and our sustainer, man, by the revelation of his word, not through man and not through theology, but the revelation of his word, man, is revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. When we can go past the books that we read and the people that we listen to and everything else and hear the voice of God, man, and hear the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit is saying to mankind. even if it's through mankind, not just hearing what mankind says, but man hearing what the Holy Spirit say about what mankind say. Because sometimes the Holy Spirit don't agree with everything that mankind is saying. And just because what mankind is saying, it don't mean that it don't have to mean that it's evil. It can have some truth in it. But it don't have the absolute truth in it. That's how you, and that's where the deception comes from. The devil mixes a little bit of truth with a lie. Just like a fisherman do, man, when he's fishing, man. He put, man, a good bait with the fish won't over an evil hook. And the fish don't see the evil hook. All the fish see is the good bait. But there's a lot of knowledge and a lot of theology that's out there, man, that's the word of God. But, boy, what is covering, man, is an evil hook. See, no man wants the fish grab the evil hook. Grab the good bait that's covering the evil hook is designed to snatch him out of his natural environment, where he was naturally designed to live, man. And you know what the result of that is? Fish death. The fish was deceived. If you throw a hook out there, man, ain't no fish going to grab hold of no hook. So the devil, man, will put a good bait, good information, good knowledge, facts, natural facts, human facts, history facts over that man, man's story, and those are facts. And they ain't lying. A lot of it is fact. But I'm talking about something that supersedes facts. I'm talking about eternal truth. And in order for you to get to the eternal truth, man, then, boy, that's only revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. That's why I tell y'all all the time, man, don't just listen to what I say, man, on this radio broadcast. Don't just listen to what your pastor say. Or the Bible say, man, you know, you listen to what the Holy Spirit say to you about, man, what we learn through our educational systems that we operate here on the earth. Because if you're just listening to mankind, then, man, everybody got their opinion. And you're entitled to that. But don't treat God out of his opinion that he has for your life. His will, his desire, his intent, his plan, his purpose that he has for our lives. Hallelujah. And boy, if you listen to that, then you're going to know, boy, the truth, what the reality of the word. Not just the logos, not just the written word, not just the spoken word, but the life that's in it, the fruit of it. See, a lot of our information just come from, man, the logos. So all we have is seeds. But, man, there's a purpose for seeds. And the purpose for the seed is to produce the potential that's in the seed. The purpose for an apple seed is not, man, for you to say, man, I got some seeds, and I know this and everything else, and I know, man, you know, all about the seed and everything else. The purpose for the apple seed, man, is to produce apples. If it ain't producing no apples, but if you're just talking about the seed and explaining the seed and talking about what all the seed is capable of and everything else, but if it ain't producing no apples, then, man, what this? If it ain't producing, man, results, if it ain't producing kingdom lives in our lives, if it ain't producing rulership and dominion and power and control and authority over all our circumstance, situation, and symptoms, man. If it ain't producing, man, rulership in our lives and goodness in our lives and fulfillment in our lives, then all you got is some seeds. All you got is some knowledge. But the purpose for the knowledge, man, is to use the knowledge effectively, man, so that it can produce what the purpose for the knowledge is, to produce, man, life, and that more abundantly. We just walk around, man, with a whole bunch of seeds, man. We can quote scriptures and everything else, man. And, man, I'm talking about we can preach sermons behind it, and we can stir up folks' emotions, man, and have them all feeling a little stuff, else. Yet, man, their lives still unfruitful. Yet they're living and dying like mere men and mere women. When God said, boy, he's standing in the congregation of the mighty, and he judges amongst the gods. He gives righteous judgment to the gods. That's us. That's the little offsprings of God. That's the little children of God. We preoccupied with our titles, I got an associate degree in theology. I got a bachelor's degree in theology. I got a master's degree in theology. I got a doctorate degree in theology. I got a PhD degree in theology. Man, all that's good and everything else, but if they produce it, man, the rhema word, the fruit of the Logos, the fruit of the seed, and all you got is a degree. The purpose for the degree, man, is to produce life. The purpose for the seed is to produce the fruit. The purpose for a seed is to produce the tree. The purpose for the seed of God's word is to produce the life that's in God's word, the reality of that word in our lives, the reality of the word that saved by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. The reality of the word that saved, man, that boy, it is God, man, has given me, man, the power to get well. The reality of the word that saved, man, all my needs are met. The reality of the word that say that I can do all things through Christ Jesus. The reality of the word that says all of the kingdom of heaven, man, and all that it consists of is my inheritance. The reality of that. The reality of the light and the light more abundantly. The reality of us walking in the love of God. The reality of walking in abundant life. The reality of that. Not just and the only way you can get the reality of that, man, you got to have the Logos. You got to have that because that's the seed. But we not careful, we just be walking around, man, you know, teaching about the seed and everything else and never planting it into our lives. That's why we don't know the truth. That's why, man, we get anxiety and stress and everything else that's in our life that produces all kind of sickness and destruction of the cells in our bodies and everything else, man. But even the times in the doctor say, man, the number one cause of sickness and disease is stress. Where stress comes from? Not being able to control or rule your circumstance, your situation, or your symptom. You get stressed out, man, when you ain't got enough money to pay your bills or your house note, or when a sickness or disease come up on you and the doctor say, man, they ain't got no cure for it. Or when pain attach our bodies and everything else, man. It looks like we can't control it. You can't control that cold that you have. You can't control that headache that you have. You don't have no influence over the habits that we that's binding our lives up and everything else. You don't have fulfillment of life. When you ain't got happiness in life. All that bring about stress, man, and destroy our physical body. When all the time, man, you were designed, man, you got authority, man, and power over all the works of your enemy. Over all the works of the devil, that you can speak to the problems in your life, even though they might seem way bigger than you in the natural, even though they might be like, the Bible says, like mountains. What mountain is a big old boulder, a big old thing that's way bigger than you? But boy, the word of God says you can speak to those circumstances, situations, and symptoms that seem to be ruling and reigning over our lives, that we can speak to them. And if we don't doubt in our heart, but believe in those things that we say shall come to pass, we are have whatsoever we say. We can say to them problems, be plucked up and cast into the sea and go for it. We can speak to our bodies, man. We can speak to our circumstance, situation, and symptoms. We can speak to the lack, L-A-C-K, that's in our life. We can speak to our finances. We can speak to our situation, our circumstances, and our symptoms. What you speak to them? The seed of God's word, man. Speak that. Instead of saying, I don't feel too good, man, say, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Instead of saying, I'm weak, the Bible says, let the weak say, I'm strong. Instead of saying, man, you know what the devil is doing, man, say what God is doing. Yes, the devil is busy. People say all the time, man, the devil is busy, and they leave it at that. Yeah, the devil is busy, but boy, God and the Holy Spirit is even more busier. Speak, man, instead of speaking all the time what the devil doing and leaving it there dead, speak what God is doing in the earth. What you doing when you're speaking it? You're planting the seeds then. What you doing, man, when you're speaking it and then, man, watering, man? You're meditating in the seed then. What you do, man, when you speak it and water it and meditate it and observe how to act upon it, do it? Hallelujah, boy. You're cultivating the seed then. You're causing the seed, man, to be fruitful, to grow, and to be fruitful. When you plant the seed, when you water the seed, how you plant the seed? By speaking the seed of God's word to your circumstance, situation, and symptom. By meditating in the word that you're speaking, man, to your circumstance, situation, and symptom. Every day. and by men observing how to act upon it. How to act like men by the stripes of Jesus we heal. How to act like men, all our needs are met. How to act like we kings and queens in the earth. How to act like men, we got more power than all the power of our enemies, our circumstances, our situations and tempers. What you doing then, Brother Arthur? Boy, you not only men talking about the seed, but you planting the seed and you watering the seed and you cultivating the seed and you're acting on the seed, man. And guess what's going to happen in due season? What's due season? That means, man, when you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. After we have done the will of God, God told Joshua, hey, Joshua, Moses got him saved. Moses got him out of Egypt. Just like Jesus Christ got us saved, but that's a going on in God. Save ain't the goal. Saved is the means to the goal. Why? You saved so that you can go over into your inheritance, to the promised land. What's the promised land? Abundant life. Heaven on earth. Into that land, into that atmosphere, into that environment, into that way of living. Glory be to God. You say, but listen, man, Jesus got him saved. But Lord, Jesus didn't only get him saved, but he had a protocol after him. He sent the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's job is to lead us into the reality of our salvation, the fulfillment of our salvation, which is the salvation of our soul, the way we think, the way we act, our emotions, our attitude toward our circumstance, situation, and symptoms. Instead of men being the victims, man, our attitude is we the victors. Instead of being men the tail, your attitude is I'm the head. Hallelujah. So he said, hey, Joshua, I call you, man, to take my people into the inheritance. What's that, man? Into the promised land. What promised land? I promised to redeem their life from the destruction. I promised to redeem their life from the slavery of the circumstance, situation, and symptoms, and habits, and everything else that's destroying our life. I promised them, man, back in Genesis chapter 3, that I would redeem their lives from that destruction, and not only redeem their life from destruction, but restore them back to the original plan and the original purpose that I created them to have, man, to live life and that more abundantly. To be fruitful and multiply and replenish and subdue this whole earth, man, that it be on earth like it is in heaven. They say, listen, Joshua, here's how you do it. What? Don't let the book of the law depart out of your mouth. Why? Because, boy, I function by laws. So get my laws, man, and then speak my laws and put my laws in your mouth. Put my word in your mouth, my original word, my original intent, my original desire. My original plan and purpose for your life. Put that in your mouth. Speak that. Preach that, man. Decree that. Declare that. Not my permissive will, man, you know, that I had to permit, man, what I spoke through the prophets, man. Yes, I spoke through the prophets, man, in time past, but that wasn't my perfect will. That's my permissive will, what I had to permit to happen because man was dead and trespassing in sin. Born in sin and shaped in iniquity. So I couldn't deal with them, man, according to my perfect will until I could redeem their life from the destruction. But I didn't redeem their life from the destruction over 2,000 years ago. So, man, tell the preachers and the teachers and the apostles and the prophets and everything else, man, get back to speaking, man, what my perfect will was for their life was. That they be like, that they created just like me. That they live God. That they're mighty men and mighty women, that they can do all things through Christ who strengthened them, that they're redeemed from the curse of the law, that they're restored back to them their sovereignty, their dominion, their royal power, that they heal by the stripes of Jesus. And listen, if we continue to say that, and if we just say that all the time and don't let that depart out of our mouth, but meditate in it day and night and observe how to do according to that that's written therein, then we shall have good success. That's the due season. Then we shall have good success. And then we shall make our way prosperous and have good success. Then we, well, that's the due season, one, after we have done the will of God. Got to find out what the will of God for is. I told you that it be in our lives here on earth like it is in heaven, that earth be a colony of heaven. And as we begin to preach and teach that, that's why, man, the only thing that Jesus Christ preached and taught more was the good news about the kingdom. Man, we preach everything but that. We preach the good news about Jesus. Jesus was preaching the good news about you. We preach everything that Jesus did. Jesus Christ was preaching everything that we can do. Can you see? That's why we got a lot of faith that Jesus can. But boy, the reason why it ain't being manifested in our life, because the only reason why, only way it can, is when we get in on what he's doing. When we work the works that him who sent, just like Jesus worked the work of him who sent him and was profitable in everything else, then we got to work the work of the one who sent us. Jesus said, as the Father sent me, I'm going to send you the same way. And the work that I do, man, is the work of my Father, then we got to do the same works of Jesus. It wasn't the work of Jesus, man. He was preaching the kingdom of God and healing all manner of sickness and disease. I'm not talking about just physically, spiritually, emotionally, socially, in every area of life. Casting out devils. Man, I'm talking about ruling and reigning over the devil. Instead of the devil dictating to us, he's dictating to the devils and the demons and everything else. And they obeyed his voice. Well, that's the power that worketh on the inside of you. But if I say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, according to the power that worketh on the inside of us, according to the power that worketh on the inside of us, according to his will and his purpose. When we get in on his will and his purpose for our lives, and begin to decree that and declare that. When we come out of religious rituals and activities and everything else and come into kingdom life and kingdom living, and speaking, man, kingdom words and kingdom rule and kingdom reign in our lives. Why? Because that's what your word is all about. And when you take the seed of that word and speak it, man, over your circumstance, situation, and symptoms, and meditate in it day and night, and don't get weary if you don't see instant results, but continually saying it, Lord. How long, Brother Arthur? Forever. Until it become a way of life. All the days of our life, what? Speaking God's word in our lives, then, boy, you're going to know the truth, and the truth going to set us free. I say it again. How would you feel if you knew that everything is all right? The only way you can feel that way, you got to know that everything is all right. And the only way you can know that everything is all right, then the Holy Spirit got to reveal that to you. That's why I tell you, man, listen, I'm speaking, man, just like Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. So if the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, then that same Spirit of the Lord is upon you too. And he going to reveal to you. That's why Jesus say, my sheep hear my voice. Why? Because, boy, I'm talking about my sheep got the same Spirit on the inside of me that empowered me, that enabled me to do the works of my Father. And my sheep got the same Spirit on the inside of them that will enable them to do the works, man, of our Father too. Why? Because they're going to hear, man, when he say they're going to hear my voice, they're going to hear the voice of God. They ain't going to just hear what I say. They're going to hear what God say about what I say. They're going to hear God speaking to them the way God originally intended for it to do. God never did intend, man, for him to have to communicate with us through mankind. He wanted to speak to us himself. He told Moses, I close. He told Moses, hey, tell all the people, man, Moses delivered them out of Egypt. He told about all the people, come around here, tell the people at 3 o'clock tomorrow, come around this mountain right here, because I want to speak to them myself. I don't want to speak to them through nobody else. I want to have a personal relationship with all mankind myself. I want to speak to them. I want to be their king. I want to be their Lord. I want to reveal to each and every last one of them individually. I want to talk to them. But boy, when God started coming on the scene and the mountains started to roar and break and the earthquakes and the thunder and the storm and everything else, boy, when that started, when God's presence began to manifest itself on the earth, the people ran and hid in their tents, man, zipped up their tents. And when God showed up on the scene, God said, where the people at? Moses said they were scared. They ran. That's when God had to speak to the people, man, through Moses then. But God originally intended not to speak to us through apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastors and teachers, but to speak to us himself so that you could hear the voice of God for yourself, so that you could know God for yourself. Glory to God. So that you could have that personal relationship that God desired, man, more than anything. Thank God for the corporate relationship. But what's greater than the corporate relationship is the personal relationship. Hey, listen, we're going to continue, man, exalting you in the gospel of the kingdom, man, from week to week to week to week. My time is up right now, you know. And, boy, this is what I decree and declare over your life, that you are who God say you are. You have what God say you have. And you can do what God say you do. You can do. And in doing that and having that, then, man, everything is all right in your life. I ain't talking about going to be. It's already all right in your life. You just have to continue coming to the knowledge of that and hearing that and hearing that, because that's how faith comes, by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. Hey, listen, I love y'all. My wife, Gail, and I, believing in decreeing and declaring God's greatest for your life, excellency of life for you, kingdom life for you, and so shall it be as we continue growing in the knowledge of God's will for our life. If we can help you in any kind of way, contact us at 713-870-3776. Kingdom Life Fellowship Outreach Ministry. Love you with the love of the Lord. One love unconditionally. Look forward.